Well, this morning as we go to the Word of the Lord, I want to just open up by telling you the title of the message. It's called In the Service. Now, I know that can spark a lot of things in your mind, and you might be wondering where we're going. And so to give you an illustration of where we're going this morning, I want to tell you a story that happened in my life. There was a time where, you know, when I got saved, I just started running for God. I just started doing things for God. And it was at that moment that I realized, man, there's a lot for me to do, and I need to get in the service of my King. And so I started going on mission trips. I started helping out. I play guitar and I sing, and so I started, you know, leading praise and worship and doing a lot of different things. Well, I met up with my Jessica, my wife, and we got married. And 3 weeks after we got married, we went to Bible school because we knew that we had a call of God on our lives. And so, you know, 1 week was a honeymoon, 1 week was at home and, you know, serving in the house. And then we went to a youth camp and we helped out at the youth camp. And from that youth camp, literally, we drove down the mountain, got on a plane, and went to Oklahoma for Bible school. And while we were there, we started getting our lives in order there and started getting things planned out and prepared. And we decided, you know what, we're going to find a church here. And so for the years that we're here in Bible school, we need to get planted in a local church. The Rock is our home church, but we need to submit ourselves and make sure that we're there at that local church and getting what God has for us. So we started looking around. We found a church that we felt that God was calling us to, and we decided, you know what, if we're doing this, we're going all out. So we let them know, hey, we want to join in membership for the couple of years that we're here and let you know that we are here for these 2 years, and we're going to, you know, just submit to pastoral authority here, and you're our covering and that sort of a thing. And so we started to submit there, and as we were, you know, kind of working things out, it was just a natural thing for us that we were just going to go get involved in a ministry. Now, we had both been involved in the youth ministry in leadership capacity, so we thought, you know what, we'll go get involved in the youth group maybe, or we'll go, you know, help out in leadership somewhere. And as we started to pray about this decision, God told us, hey, you know what, you guys are in school right now, you're here to learn, and I want you to just kind of hang loose. Now, for the two of us, that was very uncomfortable. Pastor Jessica was raised up in this church all of her life serving in this house. And there was never a time where she wasn't doing something, whether it was by choice or just by the fact that she was here, you know? And so myself as well, ever since I'd become a Christian, I had always been involved in some sort of service. And so it was very uncomfortable for us. But God started to teach us and started to show us things in our lives and started to show us how we were to live a life of service. There on the job, we were working at Sam's Club, and we were helping out there, and we started to realize that there were some people that needed to hear the gospel on the job. While we were there, one of our coworkers and a dear friend gave his heart and his life to the Lord because of the witness and the testimony and the encouragement that he received from our group. There was a group of us that went out there at the same time. Also, one of our bosses was used to be a Christian, wanted to be a youth pastor at one time, had gotten involved in a homosexual lifestyle, and, you know, he had gotten away from the church, and all he had ever received was judgment and criticism. When we left, he had tears in his eyes, and he said, "No one that calls themselves a Christian has ever impacted my life as much as you guys have." And so we realized that while we were there, God had a plan for us, not just to just get busy and get involved in something in church. No, he wanted us to live a lifestyle of service. Now, I don't want to belittle or make you think that I'm not talking about serving in church this morning when I talk about in the service, because the church should be one of the greatest places and one of the first places that you think about serving. And we'll see this from the Word as we move on. But I want you to realize that this is not just about getting you involved in something in church. This is not just about a strict rule. This is not about a legalistic regulation this morning. But rather, this is about you and I developing a heart where we love enough to start using our talents and our giftings and the things that God has graced us with in order to serve the people around us. Let me say it to you like this. We aren't Christians because we serve. Get a hold of this statement. We are not Christians because we serve. Or in other words, our good works aren't what make us Christians. We're Christians because we believe by faith in the Son of God. We've confessed that word. We've received him. We've given him all of our heart and all of our life. That's why we're Christians. But rather, we serve because we're Christians. In other words, the fact that we are Christians by nature of what's on the inside of us. We got God living on the inside of us. That we aren't Christians because we serve, but rather we serve because we're Christians. It flows out of us. It's something that's a part of us. The old man, the selfish man, the one that didn't ever want to do anything has died. And now Christ is living on the inside of us, and he is living his life through us. And so you and I need to develop a heart where ultimately Jesus is our motivation, our King. Remember, Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. Talk about an unselfish act. I mean, Jesus had everything. Jesus had the glory of God. Jesus had all of the rule and the reign and the regency of God. And he said that the Bible tells us in Philippians that he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. There he was, the third part of the Trinity there, sharing in the glory of God. And yet he disrobed himself, humbled himself, and came down to earth, put on this earth suit, and served you and I. I mean, can you picture the King kneeling down and wiping his disciples' feet, humbled with a towel wrapped around himself and a little bin of water as he washes their feet, even the one who would betray him? This is our King, and this is the King that's living on the inside of you and living on the inside of me. And so now, because of who he is in us, we now, with a heart for the Lord and with a heart for people, can serve one another. This morning, we're going to take a look at the heart of serving. The heart of serving. If you're taking notes, we've got a couple of things this morning that I want to take a look at. And I want you to see how it is that we are to serve. Because this is not about rules. This is not about regulations. This isn't about some ceremonial ritual. This is about you and I having a heart where we serve. This morning, the heart of serving. Number one thing is that it is motivated by love. If we're going to have a heart that serves, it is motivated by love. Now, remember I had said that ultimately Jesus is our motivation, but remember in First John the fourth chapter, it says that God is love. And therefore, the love of God is living on the inside of us. And that is our motivation. You know, if you read further in the book of Galatians, as we've been in our studies recently, we're taking a sidestep today, but if you read on, you'll find the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is love. Right off the bat, there's the very first fruit of the Spirit. And if you really look at the rest of the fruit of the Spirit, you can find that each one of those is motivated, energized, encouraged by love. D.L. Moody wrote in Notes from My Bible of how all the other fruits of the Spirit spring forth from love as follows. He says, joy is love exalting. Peace is love reposing. Long-suffering is love untiring. Gentleness is love enduring. Goodness is love in action. Faith is love on the battlefield. Meekness is love under discipline, and temperance is love in training. You and I, as we work out this life and as we allow God to live his life through us, that motivation to why we serve is the love of God. The love of God for God himself. We love God, therefore we serve God. But also, God loves people. And therefore, if the love of God is on the inside of us, it's a natural thing that we will go out and we will serve people. Let me show it to you in the Word. You know where Galatians chapter 5 is, don't you? Turn there with me real quick. Galatians chapter 5. We read this verse a couple weeks ago, and we've been at this verse for quite a long time, but I want you to see something this morning. Galatians 5:13 says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. You know, if you don't get anything else, just get that one little statement rolling around in your spirit this week. Through love, serve one another. Through love, serve one another. Our motivation is selfless. Our motivation is unselfish. Our motivation doesn't just build us up, doesn't just look out for what's in it for me. But no, now our motivation says, who needs something? Who has some need? Who has some lack? Who has something that I can supply? Who has something that I can build up? I can encourage them. I can do something for them. Our motivation is the love of God. Let me show you in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7 in the New International Version. It says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Notice it didn't say the manifestation of the Spirit or the appearance of the Spirit, the making known of the Spirit is for the good of the person who has it. Doesn't say the manifestation of the Spirit is so that someone can be a big shot. Does not say the manifestation of the Spirit is given so that the one person can be exalted and everybody else feels bad about themselves and wishes they could be him. Is that what it says? No, it says the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. That means that when you use your gifts of serving And you go and you love someone enough to do something that now everyone is helped. Can you imagine a church where people get together and serve one another in love, and everybody's working out for the common good? Now it's not just on the backs of the pastors. Now it's not just on the backs of the staff of the church or the paid people. Now everybody in the church has a responsibility to lift each other up. But listen, together we're stronger. Together we can do this. Together we can make an impact. Together going forward and doing something, serving people, loving people, we can change not just this church, not just this community, but we can literally change the nation. Because it just catches on like wildfire. The love of God motivates us and moves us to serve someone. This morning, the heart of serving, number one, is motivated by love. Second thing this morning that I want to take a look at is the heart of serving uses God's gift. It uses God's gift. Everyone who's born again has received a gift. The Bible tells us that when Jesus led captives in his train, he gave gifts to men. It talks about the ministries that he gave. It talks about spiritual gifts in the Bible you'll find that God has given. And also personality traits that God has given to us. God made each and every one of you. God formed you in your mother's womb. He knew you. He knew your personality. He knew how you would be, how you would act, how you would respond. And God put things on the inside of you that he says is a gift. Your life is a gift. And so God took a look at you and knew you, knew where you'd be. God knows your number. God knows where you live. God knew you'd be here at this time. And God knew how he puts you together. Sometimes people get confused and say, God, why'd you make me like this? Well, listen, God says that's a gift. God says that your personality, quirks and all, is a gift. God wants to use you, and God wants to take the individual that is you and use you for his glory. As you're motivated by love and you take that and you use what God has put into your hand, that God says, that's what makes it different. When we serve, the heart of serving is that we use God's gift. I remember a story of a missionary who went to France. And this missionary had some abilities in baseball. He played college ball and did real well. He was headed for the pros. Felt the call of God on his life and decided, hey, you know what? I'm going to give up everything for my king. And so he left a career with baseball, and he went to France to become a missionary. Started doing Bible studies and started going out, and he rented a small apartment and started having Bible studies out of his apartment. And he started to get discouraged because after a year, he really didn't see the fruit that he wanted to see. He thought that he would have a church. He thought that he'd be building this stuff up. He thought that people would be impacted, the community would be impacted. And yet, here he was after a year. No one had gotten saved, and there was just a handful of people who even knew about the Bible study, and they were hit and miss. So he was discouraged, and he was walking around the city one day, and he happened to pass this field with a backstop. Something called out to him in his heart. So he went over there, and he got involved in a game and went out and decided he was going to purchase some bats and balls and gloves and different things. And so he started inviting people to play baseball with him once a week. And so he started to get a team together, and people started coming, and pretty soon he had 20 people playing, 30 people playing. After a while, he had 40 people playing. And he said, you know what, I'm really onto something here. And so he started doing his Bible studies at the baseball field before and after the games. They would pray together, they would encourage one another, they would play baseball together, and then they would go back and do their Bible studies. And after a while, he realized that, wow, God has given me this gift, God has given me this ability. And even though he thought that he couldn't use it in the kingdom of God, here he was, and that was the very thing that God used to reach his community and to impact the people around him. Here's the question this morning. What has God given you in your hands that you can do? What is the gift of God that God has placed inside of you? You know, sometimes we say, well, because I can't preach, you know, I don't have really any gifts that I can use in the house of God. I just come and I listen. Sometimes we say, well, I can't sing like Pastor David and the music team. I can't play any instruments. How can God use me? But listen, there are certain people who just have giftings in special areas. I know there are people who just love to cook. And you know, these people, they just have this gift to be able to put stuff together. And they have this gift to present things, and they put this food together. You know what? There have been some people in this house who have just been so fulfilled because they've gotten on with our hospitality ministry and started cooking food and started helping out. And they just get so built up and so encouraged because that's their heart. That's what they love to do. There are certain people who just have the gift of gab. They can talk to anybody. They're everybody's immediate, instant friend. And you know what? We place these people in specific areas. We put them back there at the first time visitor welcome area. We place them out there at the info center. We place them in places where people just are able to get to know them and they're able to use those gifts and those abilities. Sometimes people despise the things that God has put on the inside of them. Are you good with computers? Are you good with, you know, maybe kids? Sometimes people think, well, you know what? That's not a gift. That's just how I am. Well, listen, God can use that to build the kingdom of God. There are certain people who just love kids. And you know what? This, like I said, this message this morning isn't just for the church, even though it is, in a great sense, just for the church, but in your personal lives. Use the gifts that God has given you to serve your family, to encourage the people around you, to go and to build up your workplace, and to love people on the job. You know, sometimes people say, well, I'm just a single mom or a single dad, and I can't really get into the church that much to use my gifts. But listen, God has called you specifically to minister to your family. And don't despise what God has put on the inside of you. If you're a grandparent taking care of your grandchildren and raising them up, don't feel like you don't have a purpose. Your purpose is to be the best grandparent you can be and to raise those children in the training and admonition of the Lord and to make sure that they grow up godly. Yesterday, I had a precious woman just with tears in her eyes saying, Pastor Dan, when you said that, I had realized that for the past week, I had been just in despair because I didn't know what my purpose was. And now I know that my purpose, my gift, is to love these kids. Listen, don't despise the things that God has put on your hand, whatever it is. Maybe it is music. Maybe you can help out with Pastor David and the team. Maybe you can teach and you'd like to go help somebody learn and get their GED. Maybe you'd like to help some kids learn and grow. Maybe you just have a way with teenagers and you can help out Pastor Richard and Michelle over there. Whatever it is that God has put in your hand, use the gift of God. Use the ability of God. I'm going to put a statement up on the overhead that I want you to get a hold of because God spoke it to my heart and it's so powerful. This is what God spoke to me. He said, a gifted love should be a given love. As each and every one of us has received a gift, that gift should not just be stored up on the inside of us. No, a gifted love should be a given love. Everything we have came from God anyways. And God doesn't want to just get things to us. God wants to get things through us. We're like a funnel, open to everything that God has for us on the top. Open wide, and then we're narrow on the bottom and we pour out into our sphere of influence. A gifted love should be a given love. Let me show it to you in the Word of God. I want you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. Are you listening this morning? You guys, getting a little quiet. Stir yourselves up. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse number 10 says this. It says, as each one has received a gift. You've received a gift. Listen, God doesn't just put things in the Word of God because they sound good. He doesn't just put them there because they're appropriate. God puts things in the Word of God because they're true. And so when the Word of God says, as each one has received a gift, you have got to believe that God has given you a gift. Maybe you don't know what it is yet. Maybe you can pray and ask God after you get out to church today and say, God, what is it that you've given me? God will reveal the gift of God to you. Some of you already know what it is. But it says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. That word minister, another word for minister is serve. Be a servant. Use your gift to minister it to one another. Use your gift to encourage somebody. Use your gift to bless somebody. Use your gift to do something for the kingdom of God. Businessmen and women, some of you guys just have a knack for making money. And you have a giving heart. Did you know that that's a gift? You can find that in the Bible. That there are people who have a supernatural grace upon their lives to be givers. Don't despise what God has put in your hand. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That means if you've received a gift and you minister it to one another, that you are a good steward. On the opposite side of that statement, if you received a gift and you don't do anything with it, you are not a good steward of the manifold grace of God. Because grace is God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on your behalf when you can't do it. So the ability of God resident on the inside of you, if it is just left there, then you are not a good steward of what God has given you. But when you take that ability, when you take what God has put in your hand And you go and you minister it to somebody. You serve somebody with it. You use it for the building of the kingdom of God. Then now you are a good steward. God has never called us with our gifts to just be the lone person, the lone ranger. I have this, no one else has it, it's just mine. As a good steward, you're not an absolute owner, but you are a faithful administrator. You're one who takes the gift of God and you use it for the kingdom of God. Are you guys getting this morning? Amen. The heart of serving, number one, is motivated by love. Number two, uses God's gift. And number three this morning, last thing we're going to take a look at, is that the heart of serving uses God's ability. Remember, we just talked about the manifold grace of God. You're there in 1 Peter chapter 4. Take a look at verse 11. And I want you to see this. It says, if anyone speaks, how many of you can speak? Every hand should go up. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. That means when you speak, when you tell someone about Jesus, when you're witnessing or when you're teaching or when you're saying something, it says, let him speak as the oracles of God or as the prophetic utterance of God or as the very word of God. This is not just for pastors. This is for everybody. That's why God preserved it in Scripture for you and I for thousands of years, so that we could see this. That when we speak, when we use our lips, when we use our mouths, we are to speak as the very oracles of God, as the very word of God speaking through us. It says, if anyone ministers, if anyone serves, look at this, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. That in all things, everybody say all things. All things. That in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now look at what he says. When you and I use the ability which God supplies ability. God gives grace. God gives us his Holy Spirit. He pours him out upon us. He fills us up to overflowing. And when we use the ability that God supplies, the Bible says that God gets glory for that. God gets the praise. God gets the credit. But if you and I have our gifts and we use them in our own ability, who gets the credit? You guys following this? God doesn't want you to get the glory. God wants the glory. Why? Because he deserves it. He gave you the air that you're breathing. He gave you the gift that you're using. He gave you the life that you're living. God has given us everything we have, and therefore, when we use our lives, the glory and the credit doesn't go to us. No, now it goes to God, because we are using it in the ability which God supplies. Now listen, if God is giving you the ability and you use it for him, he gets the glory, that's a good thing. Now, if you're doing it in your own ability, you not only get the credit, but you also get the burnout. See, when you minister in the ability which God supplies, God continues to supply energy. God continues to supply the encouragement. God continues to supply the grace. You can continue on. You can do it. You can go for it. But when you start doing things in your own ability, eventually you're going to run out of gas. I remember a guy who started at Shift with us. The very first night we had the young adult service here at The Rock. It was 5.5 years ago. Friday, August 1st, 9 o'clock p.m. Thank God we changed the time, man. I'm getting tired at night. But here we are, and that was back in the day when, you know, we didn't really know what we were doing, and we didn't really have things all together yet. And so here I am the first night playing guitar and singing praise and worship, throw the guitar off, go and greet first-time visitors. Hey, welcome everybody. All right, you know. Then we receive the offering. I run down, and we didn't have enough ushers yet, so I go and I pass the bucket, and I run to the other side, and I go and I grab it. And then I get back up, and I preach the message, you know, and I preach the message that night. And I remember, you know, just going, God, what am I saying? What am I doing? I don't even know what's going on here. And so at the end, I have an altar call. I think maybe one person got saved. I don't even remember. And afterwards, we get back up and we played another song, you know, and this was, remember, 9 o'clock at night, we played 5 songs, okay? And then at the end, you know, preached a message, and then we had another song at the end. So there were 6 songs when we first started. We had no idea what we were doing. We were just doing everything. So we played one more song and rocked out and everything. I put the guitar down. And right afterwards, I remember I was walking in my car and this guy came up to me. He was so excited. Pastor Dan, man, that was awesome. That was off the chain, brother. Man, man, just you got to give me some love, man. Gives me a hug. And I'm like, oh, all right, cool, man. Cool. This guy's excited, you know. Never met the guy before, but I mean, he was just so encouraging to me that night. He was like, man, that was just for me, bro. That was all me right there, man. And this is the greatest thing, man. This is the greatest ministry. And give me hugs. I'm like, cool, this guy's, you know, he's on fire. All right. We'll see what happens. You know, next week he's there. Man, he was one of our ushers. He was, you know, volunteering his time. And this guy was involved in everything. He just did everything. I remember when the children's ministry was going on, he was over there helping them paint, you know, paint by numbers type of a thing. He was over there helping them out. And he was here back in the back doing videos with us. He was doing everything. This guy was super involved and super encouraged. And I remember he was a little legalistic at times. You know, he wouldn't go and see like even children's movies. You know, somebody asked him if he wanted to go see Finding Nemo. He's like, no, we don't watch movies, you know. And I'm like, what? Are you serious, brother, right now? Are you kidding me? He's like, no, you know. And I realized this guy, man, he was doing a lot. And he would leave here and he would go and he would work two jobs. And this guy was working, you know, and he was providing for his family. He was a single dad. He would go and he would provide for his family. And then he would go out and he would go come to the house of God. And he'd be here every Friday night. And man, this guy was going, and I remember just watching this progression. After a while, he started to slow down. He came to me one Friday night after about a year of this, and he said, Pastor Dan, you know what? I'm just getting burnt out. I've been involved in so much. I need to take a break. I need some time off. I said, that's fine, okay? I understand. I said, you need to sit under the teaching. You need to sit under the anointing of the Spirit of God. I said, you just need to do that. You do need to take a break, man. You are doing too much. I said, but listen, you still need to come to church. Don't stop coming to the house of God. He said, no, I'm going to be here. It's all good, man. You don't have to worry about me. I've got this. I just need some time off of serving. I said, okay, that's fine, you know, but don't miss out on the house of God. That Friday night, next Friday night came, he wasn't there. He ended up going to a restaurant. At that restaurant, linked up with some old friends. The restaurant had a bar. He ended up at the bar. Made some bad decisions. Got in with these guys. Didn't see him ever again. A couple years later, he comes. He's got a broken arm. He had totaled his bike. His life was a mess. Didn't see him for a while after that. What was going on in his life? He was doing it in his own power. He was doing it with his own abilities. He was doing it with his own ideas. He was not tapping into the power source, because God says in his word, if anyone ministers, let him do it in the power which God supplies. When you do it in your own ability, yeah, you know what? You get the credit, but you also get the burnout. God wants the credit. God wants the glory. God wants the honor. When we live a life of service with a heart motivated by love, and we use God's gift in God's ability, now all of a sudden, God gets the glory. God gets the honor. God gets the credit. This is not about you and I ministering and serving with our own abilities. Maybe you've got talents that you've developed over time. That's great. But don't use those in your own abilities. Use those in the ability which God supplies. You and I, the heart of serving this morning, in the service, the heart of serving, number one thing is that we are motivated. Absolutely motivated by love. The love of God resident on the inside of us now is pouring through us to other people around us. It's used for the common good. Second thing is that it uses God's gift. Doesn't make any bones about it, isn't ashamed, but it uses the giftings which God has placed on it. And then finally, the heart of serving uses God's ability so that at the end of it, God gets the glory. God gets the credit, God gets the honor, and we can continue to serve with a heart motivated by love. Did you guys get anything out of the word of the Lord this morning? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.